जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर जारी, गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर जारी, यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना चिरावन चारी, जामुना फिरा बनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी।
स्वयं विशुखाद परमहंस पुरीवचक्षाय स्थितारसित शिशिनाथ शिल एसि भक्तिविनाथ गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की, शिल प्रभुपाद स्थानर स्थान शिल प्रभुपाद की, अनंत कोटि वैष्णवृंद की, रामाचार्य श्री हरदास ठाकुर की, प्रेम श्री कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासुदेव गौर भक्तवृंद की, श्रीमद भागवत गीता की, नित्य गौर प्रेमानंदी, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू सम ऑफ द डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू सम ऑफ द डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू सम ऑफ द डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द लोटस फीट ऑफ श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांगा, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री प्रभुपाद। Maharaj, you should be sitting up here giving class. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reciting text 9, the most confidential knowledge, text 2, chapter 9, the most confidential knowledge. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitramidamutamam Pratyaksha Bhagamam Dharmyam Susukam kartumavyayam Rajavidyarajaguyam Pavitramidamutamam Pratyaksha bhagavadharmam Susukam kartumavyayam. Anyone want to recite? Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Chamidamutamam Shakshatam Dharmam Sisukam Kartamavyayam Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Chamidamutamam Pratyaksha Bhagavam Dharmyam Susukam Kartamavyayam Rajavidya Rajabhuyam Pravicham Idamuttamam Pratyaksha Bhagavam Dharmyam Susukam Kartamavyayam Rajavidya Rajaguyam Pavitram Idamuttamam Pratyaksha Dhamdhamayam Susukam Kartamavyayam. Any of the ladies? Rajavidya, the king of education. Rajaguyam, the king of confidential knowledge. Pavitram, the purest. Idam, this. Uttamam, transcendental. Pratyaksha, by direct experience. Abhagamam, understood. Dharmyam, the principle of religion. Susukam, very happy. Kartum, to execute. Avyayam, everlasting. A translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting, and it is joyfully performed. This chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called the King of Education because it is the essence of all doctrines and philosophies explained before. Among the principal philosophers in India are Gotam, Kanada, Kapila, Yajnavalkya, Shandilya, and Vaishvanara. And finally, there is Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedanta Sutra. So there is no dearth of knowledge in the field of philosophy or transcendental knowledge. Now the Lord says that the ninth chapter is the king of all such knowledge, the essence of all knowledge that can be derived from the study of the Vedas and different kinds of philosophy. It is the most confidential because confidential or transcendental knowledge involves understanding the difference between the soul and the body, and the king of all confidential knowledge culminates in devotional service. Generally, people are not educated in the confidential knowledge. They are educated in external knowledge. As far as ordinary education is concerned, people are involved with so many departments: politics, sociology, physics, chemistry, mathematics, astronomy, engineering, etc. There are so many departments of knowledge all over the world and many huge universities, but there is, unfortunately, no university or educational institution where the science of the spirit soul is instructed. Yet the soul is the most important part of the body. Without the presence of the soul, the body has no value. Still, people are placing such great stress on the bodily necessities of life, not caring for the vital soul. The Bhagavad Gita, especially from the second chapter on, stresses the importance of the soul. In the very beginning, the Lord says that this body is perishable and that the soul is not perishable. That is a confidential part of knowledge. Simply knowing that the spirit soul is different from the body and that its nature is immutable, indestructible, and eternal. But that gives no positive information about the soul. Sometimes people are under the impression that the soul is different from the body and that when the body is finished or one is liberated from the body, the soul remains in a void and becomes impersonal. But actually, that is not the fact. How can the soul, which is so active within the body, be inactive after being liberated from the body? It is always active. It is eternal. Then it is eternally active. And its activities in the spiritual kingdom are the most confidential part of spiritual knowledge. These activities of the spirit soul are therefore indicated here as constituting the king of all knowledge, the most confidential part of all knowledge. Okay, so I was going to stop there for a minute because it's a very long purport. So, Srila Prabhupada here is giving us, because I was thinking tomorrow is Gita Jayanti, and we're very grateful that Srila Prabhupada translated this Bhagavad Gita for us, because I remember when I was about 13 and I got my first Bhagavad Gita, and it was one of those tiny little Gita press Bhagavad Gita. And I thought, wow, this is amazing, but I couldn't understand any of it. You know, I could kind of see a little of it, but I couldn't really understand. And then when I finally got Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, and even though it was an abridged version, it made such complete sense. And it had all the answers to all the questions that I'd been asking in the Catholic Church that they couldn't answer. They would tell me, just don't ask questions, just have faith. You know, no questions. So here, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is answering all questions. And the first question is, who am I? Who am I? You know, first of all, most people think I am this body. You know, this is me. I do all my activities. I enjoy in this body. I suffer with this body. You know, this is me. I come from a certain country. I look a certain way. I have certain friends. Everything says this is me, this body. Yet, the time of death shows that this is not me. I was with my father just, I guess, last year, and he left his body. And seeing, here's my father, and everything is still there. Srila Prabhupada explains the dead body. Everything is still there, but something's missing. And what is that something? So that's Bhagavad Gita begins in the second chapter, telling us we are not this body. We are spirit souls. So, okay, then we understand that. All right, I'm spirit soul. I'm something separate from this body. But who am I? I'm a spirit soul. What does a spirit soul do? What is my position? So then Bhagavad Gita goes on to explain that, you know, we have to worship the Supreme Person. There's two persons. There's the Jiva, and there's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the Supreme Controller. And Prabhupada makes the point, I was reading through the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, which is, if anyone hasn't done so for a long time, it is the most amazing introduction of anything. It's so amazing. It has everything from the Bhagavad Gita in there, all the essence. So in there, Prabhupada explains that there's five truths that are explained in Bhagavad Gita. And the first truth is the Supreme Controller. Who is that Supreme Controller? We are all thinking that it's us. That's why there's so many wars, so many difficulties, so much fighting. We're all thinking we are the center. Giriraj Swami one time was explaining how it's like a big drama, and everyone's thinking that they're the lead role. So if someone else is acting like the lead role, you're going, no, you're the supporting actor. Get off my stage. You know, and then wars begin. So this is a difficulty if we're thinking we're the controller. So first off, we have to understand the truth that there is a supreme controller, and it's not us. And then the next truth is the controlled living beings, the jivas, that we're jivas. And this gives us a bit of information that we can become humbled by. You know, okay, I'm not the lead role. I'm just a jiva. I'm being controlled like everyone else here by the three modes of material nature. Then the material nature and how that acts upon every living entity. Krishna goes into depth explaining this to Arjuna, how this affects us. Then time, how the time factor works. You know, now getting older and seeing that You know, when you're young, I remember hearing Srila Prabhupada say, you know, I'm an old man, I don't have someone. And I would be thinking, oh, no, we're all here eternally. You know, you don't even think about, now you're looking at the end of life and you're thinking, yeah, the time factor has taken away so many years, so many years. And it keeps ticking by. And we have to know how to use this time to its full advantage so that we can get out of this material world. Then we have karma, or the activities that we do that grow to be fruits that we have to suffer or enjoy, which keeps us trapped in this world. There's a really nice explanation by Krishna about how this material world is like a big banyan tree. And just a few weeks ago, I was in Navadvip, and they have an enormous banyan tree that they have a market under. And there's a deity there, a little temple within the tree. And you can see how entangled it is. There's so many branches and roots, and it goes on and on. And you're going through it, and you can't see the beginning or the end of it. And that's like, Krishna explains, that's like this material world. There's so many entanglements, and each of us are entangled in different things. You know, the businessman is entangled in how to make more money, how to do more things, how to, you know, make a buck here or there, how to cheat without getting caught, so many things. You know, and then you see us, we're trying to enjoy somehow or other, you know, our senses. Maybe we're teachers and we're trying to, you know, teach others how to do something, but we're getting our money. Maybe we're university professors, and you know, but we're not teaching the real goal of life, you know, and most of us don't even know the real goal of life. And that's the importance of this Bhagavad Gita, that it's here, it's been given to us just to save us from this entanglement of this banyan tree, which is so entangling that no way could we get out of it by ourselves. There's no way. But Krishna comes to speak this Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and he acts like a foolish person that's not wanting to fight this battle. And he does that just for our benefit, so that we can hear this Bhagavad Gita and see how it affects our own life, how we can get out of this entanglement of this material world. And just like I was saying, that I had already read Bhagavad Gita but couldn't make heads or tails out of it. So the spiritual master or the pure devotee comes down just to translate and give us the understanding of what this Bhagavad Gita means, what Krishna is trying to say to us, so that we can use this as the sword to cut through all this banyan tree, all the roots and stems and that you could never get out of otherwise. So then Srila Prabhupada goes on that this knowledge is the purest form of all activities, as explained in the Vedic literature. In the Padma Purana, man's sinful activities have been analyzed and are shown to be the results of sin after sin. Those who are engaged in fruitive activities are entangled in different stages and forms of sinful reactions. For instance, when the seed of a particular tree is sown, the tree does not appear immediately to grow. It takes some time. It is first a small sprouted plant. Then it assumes the form of a tree. Then it flowers and bears fruit. And when it is complete, the flowers and fruits are enjoyed by the persons who have sown the seed of the tree. Similarly, a man performs a sinful act, and like a seed, it takes time to fructify. There are different stages. The sinful action may have already stopped within the individual, but the results or the fruit of that sinful action are still to be enjoyed. There are sins that are still in the form of a seed, and there are others which are already fructified and are giving us fruit, which we enjoy as distress and pain. So these fruits are coming to us, and that's even more entanglement. We think that we're wanting the happy fruit, but the distressful fruit we don't want anything to do with. But both of these fruits are very entangling. And in fact, I mean, in my life, I found that the happy fruits are the worst. Because they give you an idea that you're enjoying this world. You know, oh, I'm happy now. This is going great. Everything's going good, and I'm enjoying. And I'm controlling all this. You know, then we get this false sense. Whereas actually the suffering fruit that we are getting, if we have any sense of who we are, that suffering brings us closer to understanding who we are and start asking questions. You know, why am I suffering like this? What is happening? How can I get out of this suffering, miserable world? So then it's explained in the 28th verse of the 7th chapter, a person who has completely ended the reactions of all sinful activities and who is fully engaged in pious activities, being freed from the duality of this material world, becomes engaged in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. In other words, those who are actually engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord are already freed from all reactions. This statement is confirmed in the Padma Purana. For those who are engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all sinful reactions, whether fructified in the stock or in the form of a seed, gradually vanish. Therefore, the purifying potency of devotional service is very strong, and it is called the Pavitram Uttamam, the purest. Uttamam means transcendental. Tamas means this material world or darkness, and Uttama means that which is transcendental to the material activities. Devotional activities are never to be considered material, although sometimes it appears that the devotees are engaged just like ordinary men. One who can see and is familiar with devotional service will know that they are not material activities. They are all spiritual and devotional, uncontaminated by the material modes of nature. So our service that we do, any kind of devotional service that's done to the Supreme Lord, it can appear just like someone going out distributing Bhagavad Gita, this knowledge. It appears like a book salesman, right? Someone's going out selling books. But they're giving transcendental knowledge, and this is devotional service. And this is freeing us. We're chanting Hare Krishna. You know, we chant on our beads. We sing, singing and dancing. You know, you can find that going on at a disco or something. But there's a great difference between the two dancings and the two singings. When we're chanting our japa, you know, that's a transcendental activity that purifies the heart so that we can actually begin to understand our real position and who we really are. And Prabhupada was saying in the beginning of the purport that this is the secret of knowledge, to actually understand who we are and what our relationship is to Krishna or to God. That's such a secret. Who knows this? Who knows this? Nobody. You know, who knows how to get that? It's so rare. It's such a secret. But the line of disciplic succession has given all the way from Krishna to Brahma, Narada, Vyas, and it goes down all the way to Srila Prabhupada, who's given this to us. And then it is our duty to hand it to others. It's like if you're in some stuck position, maybe somewhere in actually, not too long ago I heard about a man who had gone under, they were looking for some kind of sunken treasure or something, and he'd gone down in a cave in the ocean, and he'd gotten lost, and him and his friend were there, but his friend got out, but the other friend was lost. So this friend knew that his friend was probably dead because he'd run out of oxygen, and yet he wanted to go down and save him, even though he was risking his own life again, and he knew that he was probably dead. He had the desire, this is my friend, I need to save him. So similarly, we see we were in such a dark position before we met Srila Prabhupada and before we actually read Bhagavad Gita and started understanding something. We were in a position of total ignorance. So then we get the message and we start understanding how we can get out of this trap, how we can actually be freed and go back to Godhead. So it behooves us to give that to others, to share that knowledge, to somehow or other impress upon others that this Bhagavad Gita is the king of knowledge. And if you read this Bhagavad Gita, you will understand how to get out of this miserable condition that we're all in. There's no one in this world that isn't suffering. Only the transcendentalists, what do they say? There's two persons who don't see that they're suffering. And one is the transcendentalist, and the other is a madman. Because only a madman can think that they aren't suffering in this world. There's so much suffering. So it behooves us to use our time to propagate this Bhagavad Gita and to give it to others. There's a really nice, this is also in the introduction, Srila Prabhupada quotes three verses from the Gita Upanishad. Yes. Which were very beautiful, so I thought I would share them with you. Okay, the first one says that this is number 4. Well, I'll start from the beginning. In conclusion, Bhagavad Gita is a transcendental literature which one should read very carefully. Gita Shastra Idam Punyam Ya Patet Paryata Puman. If one properly follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, one can be freed from all miseries and anxieties of life. Baya Shokadi Varjita. One will be freed from all fears in this life, and one's next life will be spiritual. Gita Mahatmya, number 1. If one reads Bhagavad Gita very sincerely and with all seriousness, then by the grace of the Lord, the reactions of his past misdeeds will not act upon him. The Lord says very loudly in the last portion of Bhagavad Gita, that was Gita Mahatmya, number 2, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Thus the Lord takes all responsibility for one who surrenders unto him. And he identifies such a person, indemnifies such a person against all reactions of sins. One may cleanse oneself daily by taking bath in water, but if one takes a bath even once in the sacred Ganges water of the Bhagavad Gita, for him the dirt of material life is altogether vanquished. One who drinks the water of the Ganges attains salvation. So what to speak of one who drinks the nectar of the Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is the essential nectar of the Mahabharata, and it is spoken by Lord Krishna himself, the original Vishnu. This Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all the Upanishads, is just like a cow. And Lord Krishna, who is famous as a cowherd boy, is milking this cow. Arjuna is just like a calf, and learned scholars and pure devotees are to drink this nectarian milk of the Bhagavad Gita. In this present day, people are very much eager to have one scripture, one God, one religion, and one occupation. Therefore, let there be one scripture only, one common scripture for the whole world, Bhagavad Gita. Let there be one God for the whole world, Lord Sri Krishna. And one hymn, one mantra, one prayer, the chanting of his holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then we'll find what the true nature of us, who we really are. This process is so sublime. And this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra purifies the heart so that we can really see who we are. So we can begin to have attachment to Krishna and understand a little of who he is, and then begin to understand who we are. And it's automatic just by this purification process. We just have to take to this process. And reading Bhagavad Gita is that bath that starts cleansing the heart so that we can actually understand who we are. So I'll stop there because it's getting a bit late. And if anyone has any questions or comments or corrections. Or, yes?
When you said that you don't believe that this world is a place of suffering, because of their madness, so what can you say to people who just
refuse to accept that this place is a place of suffering.
It's like if you go to a mental hospital and you have someone, probably gave this example, with his hand in his shirt saying he's Napoleon. You can't convince him that he's not. So you just leave him. You just let them go. But at some point, they'll come to understand somehow or other. But the ones who are actually innocent, and there's many out there that are innocent and not understanding what's going on, and they're the ones that you can actually discuss and help them understand the nature of this material world. They're already wanting to understand something more. So just don't even bother.
Thank you.
Anyone else? So tomorrow is such a wonderful opportunity to recite Bhagavad Gita and remember Krishna giving us this Bhagavad Gita for our benefit. I mean, if you think about all the things contained in the Bhagavad Gita, it's so amazing. He goes through everything. And this is just in a battlefield, you know, right before it starts. And Bhagavad Gita itself is part of the Mahabharata, which is such an amazing, not a story really, but a Purana. And right in the center, I'm sure I've said this before, but to me it's just such an amazing thing. Right in the center, after all the intrigue and all that leads up to this battle, and right before this battle, Arjuna says, pull my chariot out in front. I want to see who we're going to fight now. And when he gets there, he starts getting cold feet. Oh, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. I'd rather go to the forest. I just want to give up everything. And he becomes so scared that he says, my mouth is drying. I'm dropping my Gandiva bow. My whole body is trembling due to fear. I'm going to have to kill all these people. And then Krishna takes that opportunity to give Arjuna this whole Bhagavad Gita, this whole essence of this material world and how to get out of it. And it does it in such an amazing way. And at the end, he doesn't say, okay, now I've told you everything and just do it. He says, now I've told you everything and it's up to you. What do you want to do? Krishna gives Arjuna, what do you want to do now? So then Arjuna realizes, I just have to surrender to Krishna. I just have to do my duty here. And we're all in that same position. You know, we just have to surrender to Krishna. And what does that look like? What does that surrender look like? It's explained that surrender to Krishna looks like just like a child with his father. Prabhupada explained one time that he was with his father on a train. And the ticket man came by and said, okay, where's your ticket? And he was very stern. But Srila Prabhupada said, I just smiled because I knew my father had the ticket and I would be okay. So it's just like that we have to realize that Krishna, he's our protector. He's the supreme controller. And whatever happens to us, whether it's good, whether it's bad, it's all for our purification. And all these tests and lessons that we get as devotees, it's not karma like the karma of an ordinary person in the material world that's just entangled in that banyan tree and it's just going from one root to the next root to the next root, following their senses. For a devotee of the Lord, this suffering or that appears to be suffering for us is actually how we get out of this material world. It's giving us the opportunity to free us from different attachments that we have, different bad qualities that we have, maybe our pride. I know for myself, Krishna always gives me a smash here and there just to try to chisel away at my immense pride that is so huge that, you know, it'll take lifetimes of chiseling to get rid of it. But he gives me tests to get rid of that. And, you know, all of us know, we all recognize this in our lives. And each one of us gets a our own individual set of happiness and distress, just to bring us closer to going back to Godhead. So it's a wonderful opportunity for us to take to chant the holy names, to read this Bhagavad Gita, and become purified and go back to Godhead. Get out of here and find out who we really are and what our real position is in the spiritual world as servant of Krishna. Because we know we are servant of Krishna. That's our original position. But we just don't know how we're serving Krishna yet. But that's revealed to us if we just keep going in devotional service. And that's the secret of all secrets. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna.